This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
It's time now for Green Thumbs in Canterbury, out and about with the Canterbury Horticultural Society.
Thumbs. Ray and Lorraine from Canterbury Horticultural Society. And goodness me, we are still in winter, aren't we, Lorraine?
Oh, we are. I mean, the first 2 weeks of August, we've had rain, we've had frost, we've had sunny days, snow, even had snow and cold temperatures, we've had the lot.
Yes, we have, but we didn't have very much before that.
No.
You know, and I was getting all excited. I said to my husband, oh, goody, we can... He said, it's not the end of winter yet, just because, you know, it's been so mild.
It has, yeah.
Hasn't it?
Yeah. But then a lot in the last 2 weeks, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been, it's been cooling down. So it's been quite good. I always like to sort of have a couple of really good frosts to kill off any of the bugs and things like that. But, the garden is... My garden's like a bog.
Oh, is it?
Oh, it's terrible. Because we've got clay and it doesn't matter how much work we do on it. The clay is still, it gets all pugged up.
Oh, okay.
And then because when it gets to summer, it becomes rock hard.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, that's what happens, with them.
With clay.
When people, well, it's also when people build a housing estates, even though our one was built a long time ago, they take off the topsoil.
Ah.
You know, and just leave you with a bit of rubbish. And so it takes years and years and years to build up any decent soil. But anyway, what have you been doing in your garden?
Not a lot, really. I have got my garlic in, which is put in about a month ago, it was. So
is it poking up yet?
Oh, yes. It's about...
10 centimetres high.
That high, yes.
Oh, great.
Yes,
yeah.
And they're all, I think there's only about one that didn't come through, so that's
excellent.
Pretty good.
Well, the soil still was warm in those.
It was. Yeah, it was.
Well, my garlic only went in last week.
Oh, well.
We haven't got any popping up yet.
No, but it's going to be interesting, isn't it?
It will be.
See how they both grow.
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm interested to see how that works.
Yeah, it's just an experiment in a way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so I hope to be chitting my potatoes soon so I can get those in, and I want to do some seeds, but it's a wee bit early yet. So.
I think so, yeah. Well, what sort of potato? Are you just got your old ones out of the potato pot, have you?
No, not this year. I want to have some Islam Hardies because I do like them.
Yeah.
But I'll put something else as well. So I'll have the Islam Hardies and I'm not sure what else yet.
Okay, so you go for main crop potatoes as opposed to...
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Well, I always go for the ones I want for Christmas.
Okay.
So I've planted Cliff's Kidneys this year.
Oh, and you've got them in?
No. But I have got them.
Oh, you've got them.
I actually remembered in time.
Right. Okay.
I thought, good heavens, it's the beginning of July, the seed potatoes will be out, and if I don't go now, I won't get a selection.
Right.
Because the Jersey Bennies, Cliff Kidneys, and the ones always sell quickly.
Okay.
Yes,
right.
I have got them. They're not in the ground,
well,
but I've got
start.
Them. And I'm just at this point of going to chit them, actually.
Oh, okay.
To ready to go in at the end of September.
Oh, okay.
Because they're 90 days.
Okay.
So they'll be just right for Christmas. Fingers crossed.
Right.
Yeah.
Although I have noticed, though, some of the potatoes I'm using at the moment are starting to chit already.
Yeah.
Because,
Have you got them stored inside where it's warm?
I know, under the cupboard in the washhouse.
Oh, really?
In there. Yeah. So out of the light
warmth,
and all that. Yeah,
I've started storing mine in the garage over winter.
Oh, okay.
And I have had no potato sprouting.
They've all
stayed very well behaved. And, you know, I mean, I've always had them with, breaking off the sprouts while I peel them. But never mind.
Yeah.
I just wondered if it was because I was keeping them in the garage and they were quite cold.
Oh, okay. Right. Anyway. Yeah.
Nothing else in the garden? What are your roses doing?
Funny you should say that, Ray. I haven't actually pruned mine yet.
Haven't you?
No, I haven't. But I'm going to be doing them very soon. I have noticed that they are starting to bud.
Oh, yeah.
But at least, because really I didn't I was hoping to go and get some lessons on how to do it, but I've now been and seen some gardens that have already done it.
Yes.
So I'll be able to do it that way.
Yeah. We've just finished ours the other day.
Right.
Yeah, because if you let them start to sprout, then, of course, any of these late frosts will just knock them right back.
Mm.
So we've done that, and we're just about, I've said to Peter, you must get out with the copper spray and spray the fruit trees because the buds are just getting quite fat on the stone fruit.
Right.
I've had a really good look at them, and the plums and the peaches and even the cherries, the buds are swelling quite quickly.
Wow.
You know, so you just don't know.
All the poor wee things in this weather.
Anyway. That's it.
Yeah.
However, there's all those things to be done, I guess, you know. And the lawns, I wouldn't walk on the lawns while they're so wet.
No.
But they're still growing, aren't they?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I don't take much notice of the lawns, actually. No. Hubby does it, so.
Yeah, I just notice around as I'm going around.
Right, okay.
They're doing that.
Yeah.
And there's lots of other things that people should be doing, but nothing really should go on the ground yet.
Oh, no.
Other than, you know, the good old garlic, really.
Yes.
Everything else. Seedlings, pop and, you know, plant your seeds in seed boxes.
Yes.
It's far too early for anything to go out.
It is.
It's much too risky.
Yeah. So. But just to keep an eye, you know, every day I look out and see what's happening.
Yeah.
So it's good to keep an eye on what's happening.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we are sort of now right in the middle of, dead in the middle of winter.
Mm.
Everything has, fortunately, with a bit of frost lately, things are getting have gone to bed quite nicely. So we should be seeing, I guess, I see daffodils out in the park. Mine haven't really popped up yet, but the daffodils are out in South Hagley anyway.
Mm. So, yes, I have noticed that. My spring things are only about 6 inches high.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. My tulips are just popping through the ground.
Right, anyway.
Well, it's about time we had a listen to what Duncan's been telling us about his garden, his amazing garden that has such amazing yield. I'm wondering if his daffodils, I'm wondering if his garlic's popped through the ground yet.
Yes, that'll be interesting, won't it?
I have to check up.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this morning we're talking to Duncan Gibson. Yes, that's right. I nearly said Gisborne again. allotmentier. Is that right? Allotmentier?
Yes, because my gardening started with allotments in England.
So allotments in England. Tell us about allotments in England.
Allotments in England are public space, typically owned by the council, that rents gardeners large gardens. People here think they're small. They're actually, a full allotment is 250 square metres.
Goodness, you could grow a lot of potatoes in there, couldn't you?
Yes, and about 10 years ago, my wife said, I want to get an allotment.
Oh, good heavens.
And I said, that's fine, honey, but I don't want anything to do with it.
Oh, that's great. What were you doing in England anyway? Just an overseas adventure, or?
No, my wife got a job in Addenbrooke's Hospital, which is the hospital in Cambridge.
Oh, okay.
So it's a world-famous research hospital, and she couldn't really turn it down.
No, no. So, well, that explains why you were in England.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't interested in an allotment because we'd come from near Dunedin, a hippie community, or hippie and redneck community north of Dunedin called Pūtūkanui.
Yeah.
And all my time was spent chopping firewood, the steep quarter area section.
Yeah.
And I arrived in England, I had so much time on my hands because we had a pocket handkerchief garden, and to turn on the heating there, you turn a switch. And I was a surfer in Dunedin, and I wasn't surfing there because it was Cambridge, and I just did all the sport and all these things I never had a chance to do in Dunedin.
Yeah.
And the thought of going back gardening was anathema.
No, because that's a commitment, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't matter how much you enjoy it, it's still a commitment.
And so I came back from a pre-season cricket tour, just the weekend, and my wife said, we have an allotment. What do you think we should plant?
I like this royal we when it comes down to it.
And I reminded her and what I'd said, and there was this huge look of betrayal on her face. And I dragged myself down to this allotment, and for about 6 months I was in denial.
Yeah.
And then I realised I liked the digging, I liked the planting, I liked the harvesting, I liked the watering, I liked the composting, and I went, well, there's not much more to this than that.
Yeah.
And I was hooked.
Good. And it's freedom for you too, isn't it? I mean, you don't have to report to anybody.
No.
Except your wife.
Everyone is their own garden. They typically only give you half an allotment. And these days, even quarter of an allotment. And you have to prove yourself.
Oh, that's sensible, I guess, isn't it?
And then when you've done a season and you've got half an allotment looking good, you say, I want another half. So we ended up with two allotments. We ended up with 500 square metres of garden.
Goodness. Yeah. Who did you feed? The whole street?
The neighbours would pull the curtains when they saw us walking towards their door.
Too much. Oh, what a wonderful thing to happen, though.
Yeah. Free veggies.
And, of course, you're surrounded by expert gardeners.
Mm, mm, mm.
So my mentor there was this 70-odd-year-old Greek woman who had fed her family on Lesbos, the island, and organic gardening since she was a kid.
Yes.
And she had had an allotment there for 33 years. And,
wow.
And there wasn't much she doesn't know about gardening.
No.
And she had a very messy, very productive garden.
Yes, well, that I can see that resonating with you after seeing your veggie garden too. Yeah. Oh, no, that's great. I mean, and I know that people say in New Zealand we should try allotment gardens, and there seems to be a sort of a feeling that, oh, no, we don't want them because they're messy and they're this is and that. I don't think I've ever seen an allotment garden that's really messy. I mean, it's a jumble because there's a jumble of lots of different parts. But
They attract things from skips.
Well,
people grab bits of timber or whatever and make frames or whatever. So they do look messy. History of allotments, I think they started in the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
So when they wanted people, when all the food was grown on farms, they wanted to go to the army, and so it was dig for Britain.
Mm.
And then after the First World War, there was the Allotment Act. I think it was, I can't remember, it was 1921 or 1923. And so these allotments are untouchable. So our allotment in Cambridge is some of the most valuable land in Britain, and the council can't touch it.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Mm.
And we used to pay the princely sum of £70 a year.
And you could grow all your vegetables. Yeah.
With water, and there was a lawnmower, and there was one section that was the orchard for everybody to use, and we had another half that we had timeshare chickens on.
Oh, wonderful.
So you'd feed and water the chickens once a week and get the eggs.
Nice.
And they're the most well-looked-after chickens. And
nice, yes.
And if you want to go on holiday, there's always people to take them.
I think that's the charm of it, isn't it, especially. And, of course, it's a whole community grows up.
Because
we lived in France in a small country town for a couple of years, and there was allotments along the river. And I'd go along there for a walk, and I was envious because the gardens... The vegetables look fabulous, but people sat and had their cup of coffee, and I imagine a few wines at the end of the day and things, and it was a community thing.
Yeah.
So really good. I'd quite like to see them in New Zealand. So what's the difference initially between allotments and our community gardens?
Yeah, allotment is your garden.
Yeah.
It's not, you're not sharing it with anybody. It's your garden. You can share it with people, but it's...
And community gardens, of course, it depends on people coming in and volunteering and then sharing. And, you don't have trouble with allotments with people pinching things?
It depends where they are.
Yeah, I imagine that.
Our one had a wrought iron gate and fences. And if people really want to get in, of course they can. But
it means it takes a bit of effort, doesn't it?
Yes, the thieves generally aren't after veggies.
No, well, that's very true. They don't necessarily want veggies, do they? So we have community gardens where people volunteer, don't they? And then they can take a proportion of what. And sometimes, of course, people just wander along and help themselves. But I don't think that matters as long as they don't take everything.
Yes.
Mm. So now tell me about your allotment garden in Christchurch.
Well, we arrived, how's this for timing, in December 2019 when there was some headline about something in Wuhan.
Yeah.
And we saw these flood zone sections for sale along the rivers, but we only became aware of them the day before the deadline for the
tender to go in.
The tender date, that's what I'm after. And so we rang up the council, and there's, because Kiwis don't do remote gardening,
yes,
most of them were still available. And so some of the neighbours had bought them, but the freestanding ones were still there. So we wandered around in lockdown and chose one we wanted, and then negotiated with the council for a sale price, and we bought our own allotment. Mm.
And that's, how big is that allotment?
It's the section's 680 square metres.
Oh, so it's about the same size as ones in, yeah.
But 680, a section without a house or a garage or drive is a big garden.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Yeah. It and you're not allowed to put a building on or anything, are you?
It's got covenants as long as your arm. You're not allowed to park a car, not allowed to park a boat. Otherwise, you'd build an ark and wait for the flood.
Yeah.
And so basically only allowed a garden.
Yes, I think we put one of the pictures of it flooding on the website here too. To show just how flood prone it is. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and the idea was to buy our own allotment, and then we could buy a unit or any a house without a garden nearby, and we'd have our garden because it's very hard to find a quarter acre section, and it's very hard to afford a quarter acre section.
Yes.
And we ended up buying a quarter acre section not that close.
Oh, well, the best laid plans.
This house just happened to be across the road from our daughter. And so mother and daughter wanted to be close, and so we...
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And so you have two gardens now to look after.
We have two gardens. One is a very traditional New Zealand suburban garden with lawn and trees and a small veggie patch.
Yeah.
And flowers and fruit trees. And the other one is an allotment. It's almost all veggie garden.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And I was impressed at how sustainable it is. You know, you use every single scrap of branch off a tree or anything.
Yes. I've came up with my own system of gardening on the allotments, and I don't have a traditional compost heap. I just make piles of compost. Cover that in weed mat.
Yes.
And that weed mat I fold back in October, November, put little piles of sand, and that's where I grow my plant my coombe vines.
Ah, of course, yes.
And the weed mat, the black weed mat, sits under the Christchurch sun all summer.
Yes.
And the decomposition below, and it's just hot. And even though the weed matting is porous, it allows, it's pretty dry.
Yeah.
It's not too wet.
Yeah.
And that's how I grow my kumara.
Yes, I know, your kumara's impressive.
And then that compost heap covered in weed mat then will turn into cucurbits, and then I'll still leave the weed mat on and then take the weed mat off, and then it would become the rotation of my garden beds.
Yes, yeah.
And in the meantime, I'm starting another compost heap. Yes, so...
And you carry on.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you've got the freedom, haven't you,
that whole
land, and it's yours, and you can...
Mm. Yes.
And I noticed the beans growing up, branches of trees, and you seem to grow heaps of beans.
Yeah, well, growing runner beans in England are very much an annual.
Of course, yes.
But I realise here they survive the winter.
Mm, they do, and they grow. I mean, I've had them, and after about 5 years, I think they're getting a bit sort of, you know, they're running out of energy, and I replace them. But no, you don't have to replace them every year.
So they are from Mexico.
Yeah.
And they call them 7-year beans.
Oh, well, so you could leave them for 7 years. Yeah, quite interesting, isn't it?
Mm.
And also you grow garlic. Now, when do you plant your garlic?
I try to plant as early as possible, just in the start of autumn, to try to get some growth going so they are big before the rust comes.
Oh, yes. You know, you have rust. Lorraine, I have rust.
Last year.
Wood. I've never had rust on my garlic.
Well, people say... effective microbes is a good prevention.
Yeah.
Other people say lime, but I'm still getting rust.
Yeah. Well, I plant mine late.
Mm.
because I think the ground's so cold, the poor little things sitting in the ground shivering don't want to send up a shoot till about when I plant them in August. Within 2 weeks, they're up above the ground.
Well, it's like everything. I mean, if you start late, they quickly catch up, don't they?
Yes, well, that's one thing that our horticulturists say. Don't plant anything until after the show weekend. Don't panic. Things will catch up very quickly, yeah.
But I assure you, the garlic we grew in England survived the winter easily.
I'm sure, I mean, they say plant on the shortest day, but we always leave it till August. Yeah. But not too, we put planted it too late last year in August, really, but we'll probably plant a bit earlier. But
we have to grow a lot of garlic.
Yes, you grow a lot.
Because all our Christmas presents are strings of garlic.
Wow. Yeah, right.
People expect their string of garlic for their Christmas present.
Right, yeah.
And then we have to have enough for ourselves, and we have to have enough to replant.
Isn't it? Yeah, right. Well, we would never have grown enough to replant. I always have to buy new stuff because we use a lot of garlic in our house. We don't have about 70 plants. That's not enough. It's only just enough for us to use for cooking.
Right.
Because I don't believe in this one clove of garlic.
No.
If it says one clove, I put five, or something like that. You know, I think it's such a wonderful herb.
Mm. Well, what I'll just say, though, I've noticed that I've got my garlic sitting in the garage, and it's all starting to sprout. So I don't know whether I should just stick it in the ground or wait till you said,
stick it in the ground.
Yeah, because it's got about this much shoots off them.
So. It's so warm at the moment. The ground's so warm, everything is sprouting.
Oh, I have got, and we're going to talk about it later, I've got Banksia rose in full flower. It doesn't flower till November normally.
Mm.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, so I'll plant them in the gardening.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't waste them.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. But
what do you think, Duncan? Yeah. You'd plant them, wouldn't you?
I'd plant, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm. I've sort of put some manure in that on the garden, on the beds.
Yes. So it's all ready for them to go
in. It's all ready,
So the soft leaf garlic is very light dependent and it won't grow until the days start getting longer.
Oh, okay.
Well, of course, I'm noticing my indoor plants, even though they're flourishing, they're looking a bit like it's just not enough sunlight. Is there enough light coming in at the moment? Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Oh, well, can you be called a regenerative farmer? Is that you?
Well,
you don't dig up plots as such as just planting.
When I came back, I was a teacher in Cambridge, and for the whole time I was there, it was 16 years, and we came back, and I didn't go back teaching.
No.
And I did all sorts of other things, and one of them was the BHU course at Lincoln Campus, which is an organic course. And so it's really, I wouldn't really put myself in any camp because I'm too long in the tooth, and I sort of garden how I garden. I don't have any chemical inputs.
No.
And I garden organically, but I don't really follow it much of what I've been taught.
No. Well, fair enough, but you have an understanding. And it's obvious looking at your garden that you're at one with the garden.
Well, people call it intuitive gardening.
I like that word. Well, we're getting the signal that we're going over time as usual. So thank you so much, Duncan, for popping in and talking to us today, because I think everybody needs a bit of inspiration.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah, you sure can.
I've started a new chapter in my gardening, and I've become the gardening teacher at the Steiner School.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, cool.
Good on you.
And it's a bit of a mess. Yeah. And so I've got a whole new challenge to... One, I've got back into teaching, but it's a lot. It's stress-free compared to what I used to do.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I've got a new garden to...
Cool.
Must pop across and have a look at that one day.
Not yet.
No, not yet.
I've only been there. I've been there a month.
Oh, right. But as long as you're enjoying it, that's the main thing.
Yeah. Yes. And what age children?
They'll be year 7 and 8, my classes.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, great to get them into... gardening.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to become more and more essential.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Mm. So, anyway, congratulations on doing that.
Yes.
Well, once again, thank you for coming in and chatting to us.
Mm.
Thank you.
Awesome. There's going to be a spring show, a flower show on in September the 9th.
That's the Riccarton one, isn't it?
That's, yes, St Peter's Anglican Church Hall.
Oh, great. Yeah, they always have a great flower show, don't they?
They do, but it's going to be in the afternoon this time. They usually have it in the morning, don't they?
Yeah.
But it's from 12:30 to 4, and they'll be having plants, cakes, raffles, displays, and a pop-up tea room, so... Yeah.
That'll be good fun.
Yes.
Yeah, they've got some good facilities there. They've got a Lego botanical display. I wonder what that is. Maybe maybe they've got children making plants out of Lego or something. Oh. So it'd be interesting to bring the children along.
It would.
I'd say.
Yes. Yeah.
No, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a $2 entry.
That's right.
So that's pretty reasonable, isn't it?
It is.
Just a gold coin, really.
Yeah.
Well, and following that is the Botanical Expo out at Lincoln. At the Lincoln Events Centre on the 16th and the 17th of September.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be daffodils, spring bulbs, alpines, floral art, some workshops and demonstrations, and garden tours. So it's another whole 2 weekends in a row of having great gardening things to go to in town.
Lovely.
And it's always a lovely drive out to Lincoln anyway.
Yes, and my birthday that weekend, so I'm going out there to enjoy
it. Oh, good on you for doing that. I'll be up in Blenheim at my nephew's wedding.
Right.
And I think it's a $5 entry to the Botanical Expo.
Yes, I think it is.
Pretty cheap for
that's
what you get.
Cheap.
And
that's
I think they have
cheap.
A little cafe there so you can get.
Mm.
And if you're interested in any more really interesting workshops, just look at the CHS website. And there's lots and lots of things coming up
there. Oh, there is.
Yeah, a lot of things coming up.
For beginners and also for other people who have...
There's always something.
Yes, there's always something.
Yeah. And the courses fill up really quickly, so you need to. So anyway, Lorraine, that's the end of the month again.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And it's hopefully we'll start seeing a bit of turn in the weather by the time I'm talking to you. September now.
We will do.
But if there's anybody who wants to ask a question or has a suggestion of people they'd like to listen to, just get in contact with us through info@plainsfm.org.nz or .nz. Or ring in on 365-7997 and we're only too happy to try and help. So happy gardening.
Yes, happy gardening. Yeah.
Get those roses done.
Oh, definitely I will.